This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The Gardendale School District in Jefferson County, Alabama, has become the focus of national attention for splitting off from more diverse school districts and upending decades of racial integration efforts. Jefferson County has been under a desegregation order from courts going all the way back to the era of the Supreme Court's historic Brown versus Board of Education decision. Where there were once five school districts within the county, there are now more than double that number, as white enclaves have split off to form their own monochromatic school systems. Gardendale School District is on the forefront of that effort and is the subject of a new investigative piece in The Nation magazine about how American schools are resegregating by race and how our judicial system is signing off on it. My guest is Emmanuel Felton, staff writer at the Hechinger Report and a contributor to The Nation. His investigation, The Secession Movement in Education, is produced in partnership with the Hechinger Report, and it appeared on the cover of the September 2nd edition of The Nation. Welcome to the program, Emmanuel.
Great, thanks for having me.
So let's just remind our audience of that history. Of course, it's, you know, history that we should all know, maybe we all do know, but the Brown versus Board of Education decision by the Supreme Court was supposed to be the sort of final say in the United States that the era of Jim Crow segregation in public education should start to be done, and that school districts that were attempting to restrict Black students and students of color in general from attending had to integrate. And so you had this era of busing in students, etc. That decision was extremely important, and in some parts of the country still apparently needs enforcing, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, so after that original Brown decision, there were a few other court cases where essentially hundreds of districts around the country were placed under federal government supervision. Department of Justice lawyers were supposed to be on the ground enforcing Brown. And for years that did happen until about two decades ago, we started to see just a less active Department of Justice. So that's how we get to a place today where we have 13 school districts in Jefferson County, Alabama, up from five. And that happened because, so in the early 2000s alone, Bush's Department of Justice signed off on two new school districts that created very white, very affluent communities that carved out of Jefferson County.
So this is something that goes back for two decades. And it's amazing to think about one single county in a state, a single county having 13 school districts. Yeah. We're not talking about 13 schools, but 13 school districts. So each district has its own set of schools. What is the justification being given for these school districts splitting off? And let's start our focus on Gardendale. This is a story that is the subject of your lengthy investigation. How did the residents of Gardendale justify creating their own separate school district, which effectively ended the ability of students from neighboring districts to attend?
Right. So Gardendale's story is sort of long, like a lot of this. The lawyer who started working on desegregating Jefferson County schools, UW Clemens, says that Gardendale has wanted out since busing happened, started in 1971. So for years now, Gardendale has talked about how can we do this? How can we break off? In Alabama, the only rule is if it's a town of more than 5,000, they can break off from their county district. So they can break off from Jefferson County schools. So in the early 70s, we're going to desegregate Jefferson County schools. So we're going to send families from a small Black community called North Smithfield Manor. It was built by Black families in the late 1960s because they weren't allowed to move to Gardendale then, right? So they build this community, and eventually they get access to these great Gardendale schools. Fast forward to the mid-90s, there's a really controversial politician who comes out of Gardendale. His name is Scott Beeson. He's the author of Alabama's famous, infamous immigration crackdown. And so Beeson wants to revive this idea of Gardendale having its own school district. So the town does two feasibility studies. Both feasibility studies say, no, you can't afford to do this. But we get another set of dads in about 2011 who say, let's try it again. We have this. In the meantime, Jefferson County has built a brand new $55 million school in Gardendale. We think we can go it alone now that we wouldn't have to build a new school, a new high school. So they get a thorough feasibility study. The thorough feasibility study finds the only thing in their way is a tax increase. So they go around and lobby for this tax increase. And at the center of their message is ACT scores. They feel like Gardendale schools aren't preparing their kids as well as some of the first schools that broke off from Jefferson County right after the Brown decision. Places like Mountain Brook, Alabama, where there are fewer than 20 black students, fewer than 20 students who qualify for free and reduced lunch. It's a very affluent, very white community. They're looking to become something like Mountain Brook. Like, and what you see in Mountain Brook is they have great test scores. So on its face, the justification is about raising test scores. And there is a trick to raising test scores in this country that you find an affluent student body.
An affluent student body that, of course, is usually largely white. Now, let's put it a little bit more into historic context. One of the things you brought up just now was that when blacks couldn't move into Gardendale, they formed their own town. Was Gardendale a sundown town?
It was, yeah. As UW Clement told me, black folks didn't even buy gas in Gardendale. It was not a welcoming place. And a lot of the black people I talked to still...
Explain that history when we use the term sundown town, after sundown.
Right.
After sundown,
you shouldn't be in town. Yeah, right? Like there was an explicit threat there that after sundown, you would be harmed if you were still in town. So yeah, it was not a place you laid your head as an African-American. And that's how we get to this point today where there are a bunch of communities around Gardendale that are more diverse, but Gardendale is still upwards to 85% white.
I understand that they got a judge to sign off on their decision to break off from the district. Tell us about this judge and what her reasoning was, because she basically explicitly gave the Gardendale community permission to go against the desegregation order. And apparently she is not alone in judges around the country that are doing this.
Yeah, I mean, so firstly, there's been a bit of a shift in case law since Brown. The courts are increasingly skeptical of continued federal supervision, but that's a whole different thing. So Madeline Heikkila is an Obama appointee. She's a relatively left-leaning judge. She's tough on these school districts. She's been overseeing a case in Huntsville, Alabama, to the north, where she has been putting the district through the ringer when it comes to things like resegregating. But in this case, she took this really interesting stand. So it's a 190-page opinion she issued back in April. And I think people on the side of black families and integration, as they were reading this opinion, they were getting really excited. It's like 190 pages of calling out Gardendale for some really racially tinged campaigning they did in the lead up to getting their own school district. So you get to the end of the opinion and you're left scratching your head, because at the end she just as simply says she understands the merits of local control and she's afraid of what would happen to black families who will be left, or yeah, black families, if she doesn't give Gardendale their district, if they don't get their way. She's worried that they would be targeted in the district.
So she gave in to the white demand for its own separate district because she was trying to protect black families?
That's what's in the opinion.
Tell us about the kind of campaigning that happened. You mentioned some very racially tinged campaigning, one of which you describe an ad that was taken in a local paper that you describe in your article in The Nation with the face of a white girl on it.
Yeah, so there's a young white girl, which, you know, take from that what you will, looking up at a question, which direction will Gardendale take? And there are two options. They lay out will Gardendale go the way of, and they list four neighboring or nearby suburbs. And those nearby suburbs have become increasingly Black in their schools. In one case, their schools are almost 99% Black now because of white flight. So will Gardendale take this path where we allow, or where our Black population continues to grow? Or, as the ad says, will Gardendale become one of the best places to live in Alabama? And that list of towns is all very affluent, all very white cities that have formed their own school district and have effectively locked down the demographic changes that are happening in Jefferson County over the years, because there was a push in the 90s in Birmingham City, which, so Jefferson County includes Birmingham and the surrounding suburbs. So Birmingham City started tearing down housing, public housing complexes in the late 90s. And there's been an outflow of Black families into the county. And because as developers saw that the sort of rental potential in the suburbs, they started building apartment complexes. So there are a lot of communities across Birmingham suburbs that are very uncomfortable with the rise of the Black population. So yeah, that Gardendale was saying, this is going to be the way. This is, we're going to, you know, take our footprint and leave the rest behind.
And of course, Birmingham, Alabama, being a major flashpoint in the fight for civil rights historically in the country. Now, the white parents in Gardendale, apparently, judging by what you write, were sort of taken aback by accusations of racism, didn't want it to be about race, couldn't believe that this was all being blown out of proportion and them being painted as somehow racist. Is this the sort of standard white liberal denial of racism that we've seen over the years that continues to justify resegregation, but, you know, claim the mantle of anti-racism?
Right. I don't know if they would claim the mantle of anti-racism. I mean, this is a conservative Alabama suburb, and I think...
But they don't like being called racist, obviously.
Yeah, but they like to view themselves as, you know, within the spectrum of reasonable behavior in this country.
Let me guess. Honest. Do they say, I don't see race?
Oh, yeah. No one I met there sees race or saw race. It was incredible. Yeah, and so one of the most eye-opening experiences was driving around one of the dads who led this charge to, you know, pull Gardendale out. After weeks of bothering him, I finally got an interview on my last day in Birmingham. And he wanted to meet me across the street from the 16th Street Church, which was the church that was bombed. And, you know, I guess four girls lost their lives. Like this flashpoint in American history. So he wanted to meet there. So we meet there and we jump in his pickup truck and we drive around Birmingham. And... what he's pointing out to me is all the places where his family used to live. His family used to live in this housing complex that was once all white and then became all Black. And then his family, one of his aunts, lived on this street, which is now pocked with, you know, blighted houses. And, you know, it's weird because they see race. Like, they see that that when Black families move in, white families move out, there is that concern. But... They don't attach all of the other things. Like, what's left behind, they're not so much worried about. It's like the effects on them and their families.
Let's talk about Leslie Williams, who you feature prominently in your article. She is a resident of North Smithfield Manor. She's a product of the very school district that she wants her children to go to, or the schools that she wants her children to go to that are now encompassed by this new Gardendale school district. And she realized that her children would not be able to go to those same schools because of this resegregation, because of this district breaking off. How has she led the fight against Gardendale's separating off?
Yeah, she's one of many parents who, I think Leslie feels more comfortable in Gardendale than a lot of people in North Smithfield Manor. North Smithfield Manor is an older community. And a lot of those families know Gardendale from when they would not stop there to get gas. Whereas Leslie went to high school there. Leslie went to Gardendale High, which is...
Was she bused there or did she grow up there?
She was bused there. She was one of the... Exactly. She grew up in North Smithfield Manor, moved back into her childhood home a few years ago. And yeah, she, like everyone else who can remember was bused to Gardendale High School. So for her, it's a place where she went to, I mean, so she's used that comfort to navigate this world that she feels not completely comfortable in, but relatively comfortable. So I think in a lot of ways, she's been the unofficial face at meetings in Gardendale. We both attended a meeting back in May. It was actually the day before the 63rd anniversary of the Brown decision, where she was one of, got a handful of Black attendants at best. And, you know, you walk through, past a bunch of police officers, past the beaming faces of all the town officials in
that
photos
are all
who
white.
Are all white.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, she stands in the corner, and, you know, she was really thinking she was there just to listen. Like, here are their concerns. How are we going to, you know, move past this? Like, how is there going to be a place for my kids somehow here? And that meeting really focused on how they felt unfairly portrayed by the national media. So there had been a few Washington Post articles, and a few other outlets had come down to the city. And yeah, so that's all of the white parents who are going to be fine, whose kids will still have access to these, you know, some of the best schools in Jefferson County, complain about being accused of being racist. So, you know, Leslie's just sitting there like, let's get real, right? Like, this is going to actually affect my family. So she finally, towards the end of the meeting, decides to get up and speak. And when she gets up there, she doesn't face the all-white school board, but instead the parents, and tries to implore them to see her side of this, to see, like, is there a way that we can, you know, welcome the families that we've always, or at least since 1971, only 4 years after the Gardendale High School was even built, have almost always in the history of Gardendale High School welcomed into the school doors.
Yeah. Well, I will leave it to our audience to read your entire piece in The Nation to find out more about Leslie Williams and Gardendale. I will post a link to that from our website. But I want to end, Emmanuel, with asking you to put the story of Gardendale into the national context. So yeah. This is one district within one county in one state in the country. How typical is this of what we're seeing happening around the country in public schools?
Yeah, so there's a serious secession movement going on around the country.
And you call it a secession movement, which is a pretty strong word.
I mean, I don't know how else to put it. It's a strong action to decide that you're going to take for yourself. So yeah, we have, I think it's about 100 districts around the country have tried to break off and secede from their home district since 2000.
And those are districts that are primarily white trying to split off from more diverse districts. Okay.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so 30 states around the country have laws that govern that. And they're usually pretty loose. And I think almost 3/4 of that 100 have been successful in getting their own district. But, like, so what makes Jefferson County, Alabama, and a few of the other districts in this that I focus on different is that the federal government has unique power in these places. Like, these are one of just 176 open cases still making their way through courts, open desegregation cases. And yet we still see the same thing. Like, there is nothing stopping this movement at this point. And I don't know what's next. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I'm assuming there will continue to be at least local activism opposing that around the country, like we've seen in Gardendale or around Gardendale. Emmanuel, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll post a link to your piece from our site.
Thank you so much. This was great.
My guest is Emmanuel Felton, staff writer at the Hechinger Report, a contributor to The Nation, and we've been discussing his investigation, The Secession Movement in Education, which appeared recently in The Nation magazine as a cover story. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.